Blog Talk Radio.
Gwen is here with us, and she's introducing a music piece for the intro here.
It is Sunday. This is the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwendolyn Berry. And today our guest commentator is Ruth Ann, or Ra, Martifeo from Era Martifeo here on Blog Talk Radio. And our discussion today is basically just throw the dart anywhere, and it's going to land on trouble and on this globe. So good afternoon, gentlemen, and Ra. And I would ask you, Ra, where are you sitting? What do you see as the most premier point of news today?
That's a hard one. I suppose still, for me, Ukraine is pretty much up there. And Pakistan now.
Yeah,
Sure what's going on there. If there is going to be a coup and martial law declared, like my friends are worried about, I don't know.
Yeah, and Putin is just about annexing the eastern Ukraine about now, isn't he?
I think so. I think that the people that live there are pretty much okay with that, aren't they?
I
think you're right.
Consensus, yeah. And, of course, the Republicans on this side of the property and probably a few Democrats, they're all the same thing. But
the Uniparty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Uniparty are bitching that we have no foreign policy. Frankly, I think that's the policy we should have at this point. But
yes, hands off.
Exactly. Why should we have a foreign policy that has us interfering with everyone around the world?
First of all, we were stirring up trouble there to begin with. We basically supported the overthrow of a democratically elected government, president, and he wasn't the best president in the world, but he was nevertheless democratically elected fairly in a very fair election, and we saw to it that he was overthrown.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep. So once again,
I guess
we're making...
thing is, you know, we don't have to solve every problem in the world and follow up with, we can't solve every problem in the world.
And sometimes we create more problems by trying.
There you go. Well stated, Jeff.
Maybe we should try to solve the problems in our own country.
I agree. You get a lot of
those. There we go. What a concept.
No, you can't ignore, you can't be a complete isolationist, but on the other hand, we are far too involved everywhere around the world. We should just keep our hands to ourselves.
Right. Well,
in most cases.
And like you said, this man was democratically elected, but he wasn't a Western ass-kicker. Kisser.
Right.
So they had to get rid of him and put in somebody who would
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you know damn well the CIA is involved.
Struggle.
Oh, sure. Every time there's trouble around the world, there's alphabet agencies.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, KGB, CIA, FBI, EIEIO.
Yeah.
That's the Farm Bureau, by the way.
Excuse me. I was unaware there was a KGB. Is there still a KGB?
Well, they're gone now.
I was going to say, that's basically what Putin was. And if you think that, it might have been
KGB
dissolved, but
gone?
The attitude is still there.
Gone? Why would it be gone?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, it's reformed. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, but it's
it's still a force.
Cold
it's still
War
active.
Never really stopped, and
it's still active, and it's not quite what it used to be, but it's still there.
Same old under a different acronym. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Sort of like Blackwater, right? They changed
right.
their name, but it's the same old story.
Yeah. Very true.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and today is the day before Labor Day in this country, which I'm told is being hailed as a socialist holiday. I'm all for it.
We need several of them. We need one a month.
At least a quarter. I'll go with one, four times a year.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You bet. We have lost a lot of ground. The workers of the United States have lost a lot of ground ever since Reagan took office.
We
have lost an incredible amount of ground, both in terms of wages, buying power, and benefits, and workers' rights, and you name it, and we've lost it.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's a bad trend.
That labor has lost their political nuts, as they say, because they sold them to the wrong folks, too. I think you have to give labor a little kick in the ass in certain parts about that one.
The citizens of the country, the general consensus is labor is spelt with four letters or something like that. It's like, no, this was your voice. This is how you had a say to make sure you weren't getting overrun, hosed, dominated, cheated.
Right.
And
that's gone now.
Like I said, they sold them a bill of goods that basically, union was a four-letter profanity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well,
and it's true.
And everybody's lost ground as a result.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and now, people say, well, why would we need a union? We've got 40-hour work weeks, blah, 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 no children in that.
Right.
It's because of unions that we have these things. And without unions, we're going to go back to them.
And those lucky enough to have a job that pays enough that still allows them to only work 40 hours a week, boy, that's becoming a long-lost dream.
Exactly, because now people are having to work longer for less money and do the work for two people.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, it's a travesty.
The 50-hour work week is now no longer the exception.
No, you're right.
Very true, and that's not progress, my friends.
No,
that is regression.
No.
Well, and it's unneeded, too, because, first of all, just think of all the money. When there was less wealth disparity, people were able to buy more. The economy didn't have the travails it's been faced with, in the last decade or so. And it was a healthier climate economically. It was a fairer climate. It was better for everybody. The rich still made all kinds of money, but no, then they had to make more and more and more and more and steal it from the poor and the working class and the middle income people. Middle class is basically almost gone. It's terrible.
Yeah.
We have lost so much ground in just 30 years' time. It's terrible.
And Jack, my time in South America, and this is a truism, when you lose your middle class, you lose your democracy.
Very good point. Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And basically, people can argue about it one way or the other, but there's a lot of fact in that, even in this country, because we have lost a tremendous amount of freedom dating from the 9/11 attacks. I mean, my God, who would have ever thought they'd do away with the writ of habeas corpus the way they have? That's still not reinstated, And
illegal search and seizure. That's
exactly. Or wiretapping galore. I mean, tanks given to police stations. God's sakes, what's this all about?
Well, I think it's interesting in light of what's happened with Ferguson and the police generally in the last year, and then in the last few weeks, the Obama administration has come out saying on one side of their mouth that, some of the metropolitan and smaller police departments are just over-militarized, and yet they are they're not at fault. They're responsible for militarizing the police, especially to take care of
the migrants. I don't buy it. It's symptomatic. It's symptomic of a very too powerful and very pervasive presence of the military-industrial complex all throughout our government and our economy. Honest to God, they need someplace to send this stuff, and if they can't send it overseas in a war that somebody cooks up like Cheney did with Iraq, then they've got to do it somewhere, and they'll gladly sell it to anybody who'll buy, which, you know, in government contracts. Oh, wow, what's better than a police station?
It'll be the tax dollars that disseminate it to the local police force.
I know, it's just insane. No, these greedy bastards are turning us into a police state. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and
your point about Central America or Latin America, South America, Wayne, is very, very true. We've seen it time and time and time again.
Exactly right. It's deja vu to me. I've been here before. I saw
it.
Well, Jack brought up at the beginning of the show about terrorist threats, and there is one in London right now, but that's the direct results of the Saudi king opening his mouth and saying if the U.S. and U.N. forces did not get that peace and put it, he warned that extremists could attack Europe and the U.S. If there's not a strong international response to the terrorism of ISIL. And what he's doing there is protecting his own ass, but on one hand he's saying that, and on the other hand he's funding some of
them. He's financing them. Yeah, it's insane. Such hypocrisy. It abounds everywhere.
Yeah. Well, what we're dealing with here is the word for today is palisade. And this is the religious war that started in 600 A.D., where you have the Shiites who feel that the head of the Islamic Muslim movement should be a descendant, an imam, who is a descendant of Muhammad himself, and then the Sunnis, which is everything from Syria, the eastern part of Iraq, and even Saudi Arabia, where they say, no, the religious state, and this would be like disregarding any of the boundaries of the country, should be elected into that position. They have been fighting this debate back and forth and war, civil war, since 600 A.D.
Well, the British after World War One set all those artificial, goofy boundaries that have led to nothing but trouble ever since.
That's exactly right. They've made countries and divided them up where they traditionally were not recognized as different individual countries.
Yeah, they must have just been flipping coins blindly at a table somewhere and bringing out the pencils to redraw the map. It makes no sense.
Again, it was a geopolitical distribution.
Exactly.
I have an interesting quote here from Cryptome.org that David put up. It says that, quote, enemies are necessary for the wheels of the U.S. military machine to turn.
Very true.
We're powerful. Peaceful, we would never put up with this kind of ruinous expenditure on arms at the cost of our own lives. This is where the thousands of CIA destabilizations beg in to make a Maricob kind of economic sense. They function to kill people who never were our enemies. That's not the problem, but to leave behind for each one of the dead, perhaps five loved ones who are now traumatically conditioned to violence and hostility towards the United States. This ensures that the world will continue to be a violent place, populates with Contras and Cuban exiles and armies in Southeast Asia, justifying the endless, profitable production of arms to defend ourselves in such a violent world. And this is an appalling savagery. This is David's words, of radical groups.
Very true.
Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, which is ISIS, or ISIL, and reflects the appalling savagery of American military incursions, or perhaps the collective consciousness of the United States has already forgotten over 100,000 dead Iraqi civilians and the long trail of drone-induced bug splats. Ruthless men like Genghis Khan didn't vanish into history books. Oh, no. They're still around. Some of them are right here in the good old USA. It's just that they've replaced scepters with hand-tailored suits and have traded thrones for seats on corporate boards. Better said.
Very true. Very true. Hats off to David for that brilliant observation.
I mean.
And again, I'll go back to South America. They had a democratically elected communist government, but it was the CIA for a tune of like $100,000, totally overthrew the government, making Pinochet the military dictator of that area. And then that's when the atrocities to the people of Chile, the Chileans, really started suffering some heavy consequences.
Horrible, yeah.
Yeah, but you look around at the moment, and it's just like we're saying a minute ago. We've got, and Ra, how goes it right now in Gaza?
Okay, you know, the ceasefire, so-called ceasefire, that was a good thing. That was great. People in Gaza might be able to sleep a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, still they have the drones and all that. We need to remember that Gaza is only part of Palestine. The West Bank is the other.
Mm-hmm.
And more people were killed, like 20-some people were killed in the West Bank during this. Because usually people aren't killed in the West Bank that much. Their homes are invaded. That's still going on in the middle of the night. People being drug out, children put in prisons. The checkpoints, everything's still there. They've just taken about 1,000 acres. Actually, it's 988 acres of Palestinian land. And plans are in the works now for 1,400 more illegal dwellings or apartments, you know, how they've
built settlements. This is on the West Bank, isn't it?
Pardon?
Was this on the West Bank or in Gaza?
No, this is the West Bank. I'm talking about that. I'm saying that Gaza isn't the only... I mean, Gaza still has, you know, electricity for 6 hours a day.
Right.
They're going to get the airport repaired. The airport was bombed during Operation Cast Lead by the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's supposed to be a seaport opening in Gaza, but, you know, we'll believe it when we see it.
And you know they're right on the sea too, and that's the crime of it all is that that's been shut down.
That's the city, right?
And
it's right there.
It's right there.
Yeah, they're supposed to be making the fishing limits out to 6 miles again. You know, at one time it was 20 miles, then it was 12, then they put it into like 2 miles, and they come in even closer and shoot the fishermen anyway. But I was told it was supposed to be 6 miles, so we'll see about that.
Yeah.
They've taken more land from Gaza, actually, also. So, you know, there's nothing. They don't want peace. And now in Gaza, I mean, hopefully somebody's going to help repair these hospitals because they were all targeted.
Yeah.
Well, and they've been printing out there, they've been putting out it's going to take 20 to 30 years to rebuild what's been destroyed. And they also, the fact that Gaza has any electricity is thanks to Turkey.
Yeah. I mean, that flat out's amazing. And food, it's like, well, you know.
Poor people.
I mean, and rebuilding, well, I mean, no, I'm not hopeful for the near future because I think the drones and the missiles and everything, I think they're just going to keep destroying parts.
Yeah.
So I don't
where are the
see,
drones
the
coming
UN
from?
School?
This country. Our military industrial complex.
Pardon?
That's
but
where the drones
military...
are coming from.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that's what always in you know, the tear gas that shot at the demonstrators in some of the towns like Balan and all in West Bank, they have their demonstrations every week with internationals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The canisters have U.S. on them, made in U.S.
Oh, sure.
So it's
big
people,
profitable industry for all the people that own stock in those companies. I would advise everybody to get rid of your stock in that crap. Get rid of it.
I mean, check out...
Anybody who's dumb enough to have any at this point, get rid of it.
BDS movement and, you know, support that. I just saw that yesterday, and this was just sort of an aside that it sounds funny, but it's just more of the psychological warfare. In the West Bank, you know, they have the trucks that go through and they spray. They spray the Palestinians when they're, you know, demonstrating or just because they can with the foul-smelling liquids.
Yeah.
And, you know, they call them
I'm sure we supply that, too.
Well, yeah, how about that? One of them veered off and crashed somewhere, and the Palestinians were all happy about it because at least it wasn't sprayed on them. They say that they call them skunk trucks, but they smell like rotting corpses. So God knows what kind of liquid we've come up with and, you know, spray on people.
And the toxic effects of it, too.
Exactly, because it causes, like, rashes and different things. I mean, it's not just, like, water that you can just go in and, you know, shower off with no consequence.
Not just stinky water. No. Right.
So as far as Gaza, it's not like it was last week and for all those days, but things aren't...
Well, let's put it in its proper perspective, Ra. Let's just call it what it is. It's crimes against humanity.
Exactly.
And we're supplying the tools to do it with.
Yeah.
There's big profits to be made for doing that.
Exactly.
Sorry. Tongue-in-cheek comment there.
Well, that's very true, though. That's very true, and that's a pathetic thing about it. This profit-driven industry... All of our industries are, but they're particularly profit-driven, and they derive big funds from our government. And we export all this crap. Anybody who's willing to buy it, we'll give it to them. It's just insane.
Right. And, I mean, we will give it to them and set them up, and then, except for Israel, everybody else, like Saddam Hussein, everybody else, then after we're tired of them, Noriega, we come in and... do away with them.
Exactly.
So it's like
a vicious game.
During the Reagan administration,
become friends with the U.S. and start getting things from them because they're going to turn on you.
Exactly.
Reagan sent Rumsfeld over to Saddam Hussein. They financed it through Banks of Crooks and Criminals. BCC in Italy was the international bank that they funded it all. Uh-huh. And during the Reagan administration, they gave Saddam Hussein the formulas for the chemical warfare and the bacterial warfare that he used on the Kurds. When he was using them on the Iranians during the Iraq-Iranian war,
that was okay. Yeah,
right. That was okay. That was blessed. It's when he used it on the Kurds, then that was when they decided he had stepped over the line. But Saddam Hussein got his weapons of mass destruction from Donald Rumsfeld during the Reagan administration.
Yep. Donald Rumsfeld, as far as I'm concerned, is the biggest war criminal that we've ever produced. He and Dick Cheney both.
Oh, they're up there big.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Folks, we have some folks in the chat room, and Vorp is in there, and he's been with us a few times, and he has some opinions. They're not the same as ours on every point. He feels it would be a huge mistake to reward Palestine Gaza because he thinks it might only fuel more terrorism. And he has developed that a lot of people are pointing out right now. I mean, you can't get away from the fact of the 70s and what went on. But the thing that I wanted to mention here is that I invited him to call in and share his opinions. And I think that the four of us are very willing to listen to people without ganging up on them, you know?
Absolutely.
Sharing opinions. And I just wanted to say that because, this is part of the problem. We don't listen to one another. We don't talk with one another. And if we can do it online here and make a difference, even if we don't agree, we don't have to gang up on one another. We could say, well, this is why I don't think you're right, and the other person
can...
Yeah,
and that's a civilized way to do it.
Yeah.
I was just like, we are not Fox programming, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So, Borb, if you want to call in, please be aware that you're going to get a equal and polite reception from us. We welcome, you know, contrasting...
Absolutely. As Glenn will tell you, I claim a Republican affiliation.
Well, yeah, you're
right. No, not the teabaggers, no. But go ahead.
Well, and he makes a point, too. He says everyone's always civilized when they're the majority. And you know what? Speaking as the minority on the street, as far as being a radical goes, and I think Rockin say the same, you know, we know what you mean. We definitely know where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all up to you, but we're glad to have you. And if you continue to publish in the chat room what you're thinking, I'll continue to bring it up in conversation because really, truly.
Yeah, we don't propose to have all the answers to everything. And once in a while, you know, we can change our minds. I mean, it's not impossible. And we're not etched in stone, any one of us.
No, I changed my mind big time. Years and years ago, not really understanding, I said, oh, yeah, I'm a capitalist, until I started studying what that meant. And
right.
I said, well, like, fuck me. I'm like, no way. sorry, guys.
I loved it. You're good.
But so definitely I've been known to change my mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I always said the true intelligence isn't having all the answers. It's knowing what questions to ask.
Yes.
Having the ears open to listen.
And being open.
Exactly. And right, exactly.
Yep.
The ears to listen.
Yep. Very true.
Well, and I've been in places where I've had to sit down and shut up or whatever because of the overwhelming opinion on the other side. But I will say this. I think that even, you know, it's like we're just trying to put out there. I mean, we all have different opinions here, and I'm not always on the same side as my two co-hosts, but I'm
right.
on the same side of the heart that they are.
And yes,
I think
exactly. And, you know, let's talk for just a moment about Gaza and the Palestinian and Israeli question here. You know, there's such a thing as pouring gas on the fire, too, and both sides are guilty of it, but, you
right.
know, you have to take each case individually and discuss it as such, because it isn't one side's always bad and the other side's always good. No, there's bad and good scattered on both sides, and
well,
it depends on the incident
good.
And the motivation and right. the intent and all of those things.
Yeah, but I think one thing that we do need to remember is that, like in this last deal, over 2,000 Palestinians were killed, murdered,
mm-hmm.
and maybe 60-some Israelis. And
mm-hmm.
we have to remember that Palestine has no army, no air force, no navy,
right.
no kind of...
It's just a series of desperate acts by desperate people.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Right. Well, the thing is Palestine, be it Gaza or the West Bank, has been oppressed for so long. There's only so much that a man or woman is going to be allowed to be kept down under the thumb or under the boot heel of somebody before
right.
they just have to react. We've seen that even with racial riots of the 60s and i.e. Ferguson, our own recent current event
yes.
history.
Mm-hmm.
The way the police force has treated them.
Mm-hmm.
Out in California, we can look at our own country and say,
good point.
When people are saying, we've had enough, we're not going to take it anymore, and they're
mm-hmm.
going to strike back in any way they can. That's
right.
what we have with the Palestinian and Israelis.
And when
I
people
agree.
Are forced into acts of desperation, that's when you see horrible, horrible events take place.
Exactly.
And acts of desperation, it's like a trapped animal in a corner. You know, that's
yeah.
when the
exactly.
scratching and biting occurs.
It's like there's
exactly.
nothing to lose.
I
so
mean,
here we go.
You're talking about, did you see where the California Supreme Court just decided that it's ruled that a suspect's silence can be used as evidence of guilt during a trial?
That's
I have
so
not
perverse.
Heard that.
That is so perverse.
What ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, it's indicative of the times in which we live. There's extremism abounding everywhere, particularly in the judicial circles.
Well,
yeah.
do you
oh.
think that the judicial circles used to be, were they wiser, or were they just not paid off as much, or it doesn't seem like it used to be.
I think a little bit of everything, Ra.
Okay.
The paid off is definitely a factor.
No doubt.
And maybe more so today than as I remember it as a kid.
Yeah.
And you know,
okay.
isn't it funny? All this talk about libertarianism, the libertarians, they don't want true freedom. They want one side to control it all, and they want the wealthy side to control it all. That's what they want. That's not freedom. That's not justice. That's not economic fairness. That's not a democracy.
That's
no.
an oligarchy, enslavement, because,
exactly.
Jack, as you well know, and as I passed on to both you and Glenn, right now, currently, 1% owns 95% of the wealth in this country.
That
means
outrageous.
That 5% is divided up among 99% of the population, and due to the fact they have influenced the laws where the 1% no longer pays taxes, our whole infrastructure of running the government, filling the military, the police, the hospital ambulance and stuff is all based on the 5% of wealth that 99% of us have to pay in taxes trying to keep this whole thing afloat.
Right.
That's an that is an obscenity.
It is.
That
it's
is
really
insane.
Bad.
It is.
Right. And then you have Burger King wanting to buy Tim Hortons, which is basically a Dunkin' Donuts, so they can say, oh, yeah, our headquarters are in Toronto, so we don't have to pay U.S. taxes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy a damn thing from Burger King
My current post says boycott Burger King.
Yes, and I thank you for the shout-out on
that, too.
They'll
get smart the way Walgreens got smart.
Yes,
I would say boycott it for your own health to start with.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, you're right. Absolutely. I agree with that 1,000%. You talk about selling garbage. Maybe that's part of their recycling program.
But what you say, I mean, that is absolutely horrible. That it's just known that they're trying to do this so that they won't have to pay taxes. Isn't that?
Exactly.
They're
flaunting it now. They used to try and keep it secret, but now they're
exactly.
flaunting it. Nah, look what I can do. No, it's just ridiculous.
It's definitely in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They have no respect whatsoever for the American public. They don't have any respect at all for the government or anything to do that's American. They don't care. They're based here. They want to sell here. They want to derive their profit here. But they don't want to pay for anything here. It's ridiculous.
That's like all of these multinational corporations. I mean, there is no allegiance except to money.
Yeah, just money. That's it.
People and countries mean nothing.
Yep,
I'm
going to
say, back in the first couple years of the W. Bush administration, I wrote a poem. I'm also a published poet for some of the listeners out there. And this is one that has not been published, but I wrote it a couple, like I said, within the first couple years. And basically it's called Man's Evolution to Extinction. And I go through all of this. The responsible citizenship of these multinationals is just going to be ignored, and they're going to do what they're going to do, just keep raping the system. I think that'll be the next post on my Minds and Times of Beth Wayne Johnson blog site. That
right.
I'm going to put
good,
that
good
one
point.
On there.
And while I think of it too, Wayne, take a look at if you have a chance. Take a look at the movie The Corporation. It analyzes corporations as if they were actually human beings, and it finds the deduction that it comes up with is that they're psychopaths, and that's exactly the way they behave.
Yep.
I'll definitely be checking that out, Jack.
It's a tremendous movie. It's old, but it's still very relevant.
It's probably
on YouTube, maybe.
Could be.
Corporation. And Wayne, what did you say that your site is?
It's called The Minds. It's just simply Minds, MINDS, and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good writing there. Thoughtful writing.
But thank you. Thank you for the compliment there.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, being a Republican, I've actually had, like, hour-long conversations with Jack Kemp at the time, right after he lost his vice presidential bid. And I was warning the Republican Party and him as being the upper echelon of the Republican Party at that time of this embracing and then enabling and giving validity to this extreme reactionary right. And now Karl Rove is trying to spend millions and millions of dollars trying to purge this Tea Party segment out of the Republican Party that I had warned them about embracing back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
And my final statement on that posting is, I told you so, Jack Kemp, you know.
Yeah, right, yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I really was very much a moderate Republican.
Yeah.
I was working with
those Republican roots in your family, Wayne, be sure to share with everybody.
Go all the way back to Lincoln.
Exactly.
Right,
back in the days when the Republican Party was a liberal party.
Well, it was a thinking man's party. Yeah,
exactly.
We embraced the age of golden thought, you know, golden age of free thought.
Right. Exactly.
And
right.
But man, I'm going to quote George S. Patton. Said, "When everybody's thinking alike, because everybody has to think like Rush Limbaugh, and if you don't think like us, then you're really not a true Republican." You know, that's kind of rhetoric you're hearing.
Yeah.
George Patton said, "If everybody's thinking alike, then somebody's not thinking at all." And that's where we are.
Speaking of Rush Limbaugh,
Party.
his latest and greatest and most nefarious comment had to do with the death of Robin Williams and how it may have had overtones resulting from his involvement with leftist, leftist
oh
political philosophy. What an absolute idiot.
What?
Oh, he's so crazy. He'll just fall off stuff. He's crazy.
Talking about somebody who's drank the Kool-Aid. He's actually selling the Kool-Aid, okay?
God.
He is pimping Kool-Aid off big time.
And, you know, absolutely.
A minute that Rush Limbaugh believes the word he says.
Oh,
I
don't
he just tries to be controversial to gain attention. Just like Ann Coulter does. All of them do. And Sarah Palin, all of them. They're all morons. They make these insane statements just to get noticed.
Ann Coulter is a blemish on humanity.
She's rotten.
She
is.
Yep.
Go ahead.
She's just rotten. Listen, I want to take a moment here to talk about a project that is ongoing in Oakland with our pal Oso.
Oso.
But it's put together by a Poor People's Magazine out there and that whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they've been doing is they've been working on a homefulness project, which is a real solution to the homelessness out there. It's homefulness is a landless, poor, and indigenous people's led movement to take back the land, build housing, a community garden, school, cafe, and healing space. And as we know, Oso has been part of this with Poor Magazine. That's P-O-O-R Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solution of interdependence, love, and equity sharing for landless youth, adults, and elders across, it's got no national boundary, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's
universal.
Yeah, it's poor people led and self-determined. They're truly a green model for housing, art, micro-business, spirituality, interdependence, self-accountability, caregiving, and community that incorporates the teaching of our elders, our ancestors, and spiritual healers in harmony with Mother Earth. Now that's a crowd. I'm right there with them. Better description of how I feel and where I'd stand, that's it.
Exactly right.
They aim to create permanent, lasting solutions for houselessness for families in poverty who have been displaced, evicted, gentrified, and destabilized out of their indigenous lands and communities. And what they have done so far is to create not only community gardens, they're taking back their communities. That was the question I just got.
Yeah,
they're
good.
Their communities, the slum lords, the bad buildings that stand after eviction and go to waste, the schools that have been shut down. No, we're not talking about taking seventh generation homes away from people. We're talking about mostly metropolitan communities where there is such crowding of homelessness going on. And when they go in and they take a look at the statistics, it's mostly indigenous and brown and black people that are making up those numbers, and a lot of it is due to the increase in it in the last couple of years is the economy. And what they have done so far is they've created two wonderful, glorious community gardens out there in Oakland. They go through all of the legal steps to reclaim the land by either having it annexed to them through some kind of a bill, or they purchase it for a good price. They're also creating their own homelessness schools out there for the kids, where some of the classes include, and I think you'll find this interesting because, as Ron knows, the schedule got posted.
Oh, the schedule is wonderful.
Right. I mean, at 8 a.m. that just on Monday, tomorrow, the schedule is easy drop-off. They provide breakfast and exercise videos.
Oh, that's great.
quiet time, and then a morning ritual. It's usually a very eclectic ceremony of giving prayer or communing with nature. They do science, math, survival skills through annual care. Then at 11 a.m., somebody comes in and actually provides them a workshop for an hour on revolutionary history.
Interesting.
And then at 12 p.m., they have healthy cooking classes. And then they have a physical ed program. And then how to fix your mama's hoopty auto mechanic survival. And, you know, they got how to do it. They've got a yoga class after that, and then a literature class, and then they
very developed
for homework.
Some kind of music too. Some kind of music lessons, I think.
Thursdays. This is exceptional. It's just what it's called for, you know, inner city homelessness and children who are, you know, left out of the count with the current school systems and charter
And you know, I might add too that this is not only found on the West Coast. On the East Coast, in both New York and New Jersey, there have sprung up a lot of community-run public gardens where people can grow what they want and when they want. They're supported strictly by mainly poor people, and it provides an alternative for them to be independent economically and to help grow their own food and not have to rely on food stamps and other things.
Jack, let me interject here real quick, too. There's a quote by John Stuart Mill. I mean, there was a lot of the working middle class because of the latest banking raiding that happened here and the crashing of the economy by 2008. This quote by John Stuart Mill, I think, really plays well into what we're talking about here. It says, "There are many truths of which the full meaning cannot be realized until personal experience has brought it home. There's plenty of people who are the working middle class that have fallen down below the poverty line and have lost their homes and doing what they can just to try to keep their family together." This is kudos to OSO and those that are making the effort.
Well, and the point is to look for these options because they're there in a lot of communities now. My own community here in Lake Worth, Florida, I mean, my neighbors and I, we buy from a guy who turned his whole yard into, and this is very important, and Raul backed me up here, non-GMO technology food.
Absolutely.
The heirloom tomatoes, I think more people need to be doing this just to preserve this bank, the seed bank, across the country, because if you're left up to Monsanto, they're going to have us all bent over the barrel.
It's terrible.
And it's surprising how many people are coming together to help one another right now through these hard times. I see it in my own neighborhood. I mean, I also see a lot of disparity and a lot of people just frightened of, especially with the police and everything. Here locally. But we all buy from this organic organic grower right here in our neighbor. He took and he made boxes, and he's got his whole yard, and he keeps growing enough food over and over again, rotating his little crops so that he's paying for his rent, and he is able to work on his own projects as a video maker, and he's supplying food to all of us who are buying from him in the neighborhood, and we're getting good food. You know, we're getting healthy food.
You're getting real food. Let's just call it what it is. This is real food you're eating.
And it's economic democracy in action.
There you go.
Not oligarchs dictating the game playing rules. It's the real thing.
It's micro.
When we had our crab feast here yesterday, which was celebrating my youngest daughter's 20th birthday, I bought locally grown watermelons and locally grown corn, and that's what we feasted on. Locally caught crabs for the rivers, the farms, the watermelons and corn, and we had a feast. And kept all of our money right here on this geographic area.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah.
And the organic farmers are up against it in this country, too. Vorp just made the comment that he sees the government raiding organic farmer types all the time. And they dump milk and all kinds of things, and that's because apparently they are not up to FDA codes or whatever, but
right.
it's an infringement on the corporate climate in farming in this
right.
country. Food is a big business.
Well, it was in California that there was a group of people who wanted unpasteurized milk.
Right.
And they were buying it, right, and, being able to make their butter from it and everything. They shut that down because it had not been pasteurized.
Yeah, I've heard about
that. The dairy and the meat industries are very, very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
they
I
don't
tell you right now,
competition.
My father's mother, and they were West Virginia coal miners, they always had a cow, and I guarantee you, they all drank the milk, and they made butter from the milk, and all that. Mm-hmm. Even when I was a kid, she was still making her own butter. And,
mm-hmm.
gee, none of them died.
Right.
All six live.
Yeah.
Well, it's horrible what they're doing to farmers these days, especially the farmers who have been doing it for years and years and have done business with the corporations. But if you're a farmer today who has, say, 6,000 acres, able to, no farmer actually has that anymore. That's the odd.
No, that's all corporate farms.
Only corporate farms, yes.
Well, the only ones who actually do that own their own are vintners. Those are the ones who own their own land still, are the vintners. And then you have communities raising up now, again, like they did in the 60s. Communes are coming back into fashion, and people
right.
are creating their own food for their own communities. And some of those communities are getting, stomped on by the government, too. You can't eat this. Well, bullshit, boys.
Yeah.
It's
just like the communities that are fining people if they try to save rainwater. Now,
weird.
To me, that is just too
that's
bizarre.
Just,
I have no idea.
Well,
way over the top.
In the mountains of West Virginia, up in the mountains itself, where you could try to drill so deep to get a water table so far down, there's what's called cisterns.
Yeah.
And there's still some of those in there, still some mm-hmm. of those. Of course, that's up in the mountain hillbilly folks that, they're under the radar as far as the government's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Not unless they're making good liquor.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of bootleggers.
And they do.
Yeah, oh, they do.
Yes, they do. Yes, especially in the North Carolina mountains. Been there.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. In the Appalachian Mountains, it still goes on.
Oh, it sure does. Yeah.
Oh, and Fort brings up a good one, too. He's saying, let's not forget the children busted by the cops for their lemonade stands lately.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Pathetic.
All right. Folks, you have to elaborate on that one for me because that was beyond even comprehension right now for me.
Oh, unreal.
There's been several news items around the country. It's not just
around
the
country.
Oh,
yeah.
That children putting food stands up, for lemonade are getting tossed off the street. They're not allowed to do it. And they're getting busted for it too. They fine the kids and the parents.
Isn't that awful? And they claim to be pro-capitalist. What's more capitalist than that? They just can't get it right, can they?
One of the great pleasures of living in the Northeast for me used to be when I'd drive through upstate New York, and at all the farms I would pass, I would be able to, if I saw it, I could pull over and buy fresh vegetables and stuff. Nobody was out there. There was just a coin box on the truck, on the edge of the truck where all the vegetables were. Everybody was
right.
on their honor. And nobody stole. Everybody gave money or the price of what things were. I mean, I saw that in 06 when I was driving through upstate New York. I bought beautiful squash and some apples. I can remember the apples, boy. And it's just that I miss that kind of thing. We used to, when I was a kid down here in Florida, we, of course, have all the migrant camps that do all of the Florida growing out here. But you used to be able to go out, and I think there's places where you still can. They call them U-pick-ems.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah,
we have them around here. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you go out on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday to pick strawberries or tomatoes, which both taste like crap in this state because of the sandy soil. You go out, you buy those, you pick them. You spend a couple hours out in that sun choosing and buying your fruits and picking them, and you'll understand what kind of labor the migrant
people.
Oh, yeah.
Farmers provide for this country and for humanity itself.
Right.
And you don't come away without that knowledge and not having deep, deep respect, you know?
Glenn, I haul cucumbers, and the migrant laborers would pick it, and I was in the truck hauling, you know, taking the baskets and hauling them off to the pickle plants and things like that. I've worked under that sun, too, and I can appreciate and work side by side with a lot of the migrant laborers as a kid, because that was a means of employment for, you know, young teenage kids, too, or in the area. I can remember as a child, my dad was a school teacher, and he had a summer job basically finding work for the migrant laborers and the crew chief. The farmers would call in and say, I need a crew for this field to pick. We were growing watermelon, cantaloupe, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, you know, all the truck crops. And at the time I was living in Glen Burnie, and Dad would come home from the Eastern Shore. He would bring watermelon, cantaloupe, tomatoes, and all these things. And I'd put them in my wagon and then walk them and go knock on door to door asking people if they wanted to buy any of my produce. I sold out in a matter of a couple streets.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing we should remember here, too, which is still the same, it's true, and it's true down here. I've seen it happen even at green markets where people who don't have much or have nothing, farmers and the people working there will always give you something to eat if you have nothing to give back.
Yeah.
I was going to say, back in the day, you know, it was Edward R. Murrow did a program called, basically did a shame about migrant workers.
1962.
Yeah, what was the name of it again?
I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was a study of migrant workers and how they lived and how they were exploited.
Basically.
Yeah,
and he broadcasted it the day after Thanksgiving because, you know, here everybody had their bellies full and had gorged on Thanksgiving dinner. And then they broadcasted the day after and said, like, you know, okay, here is where all your food came from. Here's where your yams came from.
And that opened a lot of eyes back then.
Of course, it was considered, now it's labeled as, well, that's just that communist propaganda, socialist stuff of the 60s.
I know, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's all in how you look at it.
A lot of people are looking at it wrong nowadays. The truth is that gardening should become our one of our, you know, like you have to water the lawn. Well, now we need to think about starting to water our own gardens. I mean, I know people...
Well, they do all across Europe, you know. It's very rare in even suburban Paris to find a home without a little garden in the backyard. I mean, everybody does it.
Yeah, no, I know, all through Europe, and they've done that since time immemorial. But here, we have to get back to that. Who better to teach that? I mean, we got wonderful green things on the horizon. I mean, have you seen some of these reconstructed parking buildings that they don't tear down? They make them into hyperponic.
Hydroponic grow, yes.
Hydroponic and dirt bed farms right in the middle of the city. They need farmers to teach them how to do that, too. And it's a wonderful thing. It really should be.
The Incas in the Andes had a very good terraced hydroponic aspect from, you know, whatever rain. And if, right, once you saturate the soil at this level, it just drains down to the next level, giving the water that's filtered through to the next terrace of crops. And just went on down the mountain.
Ron, are you writing the Farm Belt there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm definitely in the Farm Belt.
That's what I got,
GMO corn and soybeans.
Oh, no GMO.
I was gonna say, that's kind
that's
of, well, see, now that's very interesting because what used to be grown around here as food, you know, like you said, watermelons, cucumbers, all the truck crops, things like that, we've all switched to combine crops of soybeans, wheat, barley, and corn. That's it. That's all that's grown on this shore.
Yeah, here it's not people food. This is food for animals.
The animals, exactly.
You know, soybeans, problems with all this meat eating, we are spending so much water and land on, you know, growing the animals that are in torture.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
it's very expensive to produce beef. I mean, you use a lot of natural resources just in the production of meat.
Yeah.
For the pound of meat. Right?
Pigs
and
everything
else. Harvest was the name of that program that Edward R. Murrow did. It just on.
You know, we'll
Harvest
just Google Edward R. Murrow and we'll find it.
Yeah.
Something about a harvest. A harvest of shame.
That's what it said. Harvest
like
of shame.
That's what it was, yeah.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the name of it.
Right.
Well, one thing that's good here, we have lots of wind farms.
That's great.
Yeah.
Right. The Midwest,
I was gonna say,
really.
We're going to see a lot more of those, too.
Absolutely. Well, here's another interesting thing. I just read that today, talking about the sanctions against Russia and Putin for his going into the Ukraine. The real problem is Germany is getting like 70% of their natural gas for their heating and stuff from Russia. They've got to divest themselves. So maybe they'll need to start getting their natural gas from Norway and stuff. But right now, Germany is getting about 25% of its energy needs from solar and wind farms.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
This is on the electrical side, you know, stuff. So, and which is just far, 25%, this country hasn't even begun to reach numbers like that in renewable energy.
We're not even at 10% of that level.
No, but I will say that in my travels, and of course the engineering firm I'm with and stuff, which is dealing with electrical infrastructure grid, there is a very big push, especially in that Midwest of Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, western part of Ohio, of putting up windmills. Plus, they just finished up a big solar project in the northern part of California.
Mm-hmm.
And
it'll spread across Kansas and Nebraska and Iowa and everything, too.
There'll be more and more of this.
Gentlemen, and Rob, I want to thank you very much for being on today. And
Rob, good to hear from you.
Thank you for being in the chat with us today.
I enjoyed it very much.
It was a good conversation. And Ra, tell people how they can find you on Blog Talk Radio.
Just blogtalkradio.com/Air Amarte Fio. And we have shows with different kinds of variety. Of course, mostly political, but once in a while we get in something else, too. So.
Great.
Like a sound.
Well, Ron, it's been our pleasure to have you as a guest today, and we hope you'll come back again soon.
Thank you.
And everybody keep pushing forward over Labor Day and beyond, okay?
All right.
I'd like to add that we wish America's labor all the best. I think most of us are part of it. And
they're under attack.
In solidarity with them.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I'll say, please look me up on Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson, and I'll close by saying, please keep automatic Uzis out of 8-year-old's hands.
I agree.
What's stupidity? That little girl's got to live with that for the rest of her life.
That's terrible.
I also want to say, before we go off, Congratulations to every one of the people that was on the playa at Burning Man this year. Wish I could have been there. Wish I could have been there.
Absolutely. Well, good night, all.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Bye. Talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
Thank
you. Keep up the good work, Ra and Gwen.
You too, Jack, Wayne,
Ross. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for being with us. And that is the Sunday show. We'll be back with you next Sunday. Thank you for listening.